everything has changed. Of course, that's been slowly happening since the coronavirus outbreak, but today thousands, maybe millions of Americans woke up out of work. Over the weekend, the CDC recommended a ban on gatherings of 50 people or more. States have their own restrictions. Massachusetts banned all gatherings over 25. So suddenly, restaurants, health clubs, small businesses are furloughing workers with no pay. Trading on Wall Street halted again for 15 minutes as markets fell. Jill Schlesinger is business analyst for CBS News, host of Jill on Money. Jill, this is how small businesses work. No money coming in dinners or lessons, no payroll.
Right. And so these small business owners, and, you know, we're mostly thinking about, when you think about, like, how is a small business defined, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, says anyone less than 500 employees. But obviously, the smaller the business, the deeper the problems that occur. And you're absolutely right. I mean, what we know is that people simply do not have the wherewithal to be able to manage this process. And that's why I think there had been some hope that the federal government would act and act sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Clearly, because what we are considering right now is a situation where, yeah, people might lay off their employees, but they may not be able to survive as going concerns. And that, to me, is the real critical issue. We've got to give these the workers, but also the small business owners, a lifeline.
Well, the House on Sunday voted to pass a bill that will give employees 2 weeks of paid sick leave if they work at a company with 500 employees or fewer. Bigger companies like Walmart and Target are saying they too will voluntarily provide 2 weeks of paid sick leave. But, you know, for those, let's stay with the employees for a second. You know, people worried about their insurance running out. You have always told people to have, what, a 3-month backup of cash? Most people don't. What can they do?
Well, I mean, I think that this is the sort of the triage version of your financial life. And I understand, when I must sound like a broken record when I say 3 to 6 months of your living expenses and more if you're already retired. But you're here now. And if you don't have that, or even if you do have that, here's where you start. You make a list of your expenses. And I would say, kind of in order, food and shelter, the most important part of this, okay? You're never going to skimp on that. So food and shelter come first. Obviously, utilities and car payments and insurance and servicing your debt and medical or pharmaceutical expenses, even dependent care. I mean, there are plenty of people who are paying for their older relatives to be in assisted living or in homes or have home health aides, and they can't afford to shut that off right now. So you've got to make sure you understand what the priorities are. I will say that, in terms of those must-pay expenses, it used to be I would always say, oh, utilities, because you don't want your utilities shut off. But most states, and I'm pretty sure all will, they're banning any utility shutoffs, you know, heat and water and electricity during the national emergency. So I think that you don't have to worry about that. What I'm not sure is if that would apply to internet service providers, because if everyone's working from home, you need your internet service provider.
Yeah, but stay with people who aren't working at home. I mean, people who are working at home are the lucky ones.
Yes.
Those who just are being told, we can't afford to pay you and we're tremendously sorry. What about their employers? As you said, they also have to think about how long they can go without functioning and whether they're going to go under. We've been hearing anecdotally about, a climbing club that had a close and said, look, you can stop your dues, but we're hoping that you keep paying your monthly dues even though you're not coming so we can pay the staff. And we've heard of, young people saying, I'm going to do that. Or a suggestion that if something closes, you buy a gift certificate to it, to put money in now that you can then use the facility later.
Right. I mean, those are great ideas. Unfortunately, that's really not what's needed. What is needed is a whole scale federal government intervention right here. You know, like when the financial system gets clogged up, it's the Federal Reserve that steps in. When our consumers and small businesses, when they're cash flow gets clogged up, when they are in need, we must have the federal government act and act swiftly. So I feel like they're on the precipice of potentially doing that, but we need it now. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that I should just point out. The FDIC has issued a statement to banks saying that they think that banks, they can't make them do it, but they believe banks should waive fees like ATM fees and overdraft fees and late fees on credit cards and other loans. They think that there should be increasing credit card limits for creditworthy borrowers, and they want the banks to offer payment accommodation, like allowing a borrower to skip or defer some payments or extending the payment due date. So I'm hopeful that the banks and the lending institutions are going to step in where the government is failing right now.
Well, and just real quick, Jill, the Federal Reserve did cut interest rates to practically zero. Will that make it easier for small businesses to apply for loans to get money?
Yes, but it's not the panacea. We need to get money into these people's pockets now. And that's not going to happen efficiently if you have to go through a loan process, even if it's expedited. So it's better, but it really is not the cure. And remember, there really isn't a cure right this minute. What has happened is the economy, which was going along at 55 miles an hour at the beginning of this year, has screeched, and the economy's in a skid. We don't know whether we end up in a ditch or we end up like, oh, that was scary, but we're okay. Because of that uncertainty, that's what investors need to see government action take place right now.
And remember, that's what happened after the 2008 housing crisis. A lot of money was poured into the economy. There was some criticism of that, but that's how we got through. Jill Schlesinger, business analyst for CBS News, host of Jill on Money. Thanks as always.
Great to be with you.